Well, hi everybody. This is going to be a short program, about 1/2 hour. We've been talking, I think it's program number 29. We've been talking about the different kinds of sources which affect the astral body of the human being. So there's the planetary spirit or entity, as it's sometimes called, decaying and incarnating planets, one of them very negative and the other quite positive. Number three, emanations from the new sign of the zodiac, Aquarius. Number four, emanations from the heart of the sun, whatever exactly that is, perhaps the soul body of the solar logos, or maybe some kind of subjective sun on the astral plane, or maybe some kind of etheric center on the monadic level. Number five, the effect of the astral body of humanity. And number six, the effect of the astral environment of family, near ones, and those who immediately surround the individual. So we've ended number 28 and we begin on number 29. And there's another factor here affecting the astral body of humanity, the emotional astral sentient equipment with which a man enters into life, That'll be enough, and then I'll just read the rest, which he utilizes and which he builds as life progresses. So this is not of humanity. This is not the near ones. This is one's own astral body and state, condition, inherited from the past. Many a man is the victim of an emotional body which he himself has constructed as he responded to the energies of the groups enumerated above. The astral body reacts to all emanations of a sensitive character in three ways. This sounds important. So much information given, and will we use it? Will we retain it? That is our question, right? Okay, so number one, number A, emotional. The astral body is swept into response of some kind to the emanations of the astral bodies, group bodies, or individual of those surrounding him. This phrase warrants careful study. Group bodies or individual. Group bodies or individual bodies of those surrounding him, literally surrounding, and we can be as much affected by groups as by individuals. Then the factor that he calls sensitive. The astral body reacts to all emanations of a sensitive character in three ways. Sensitive, this is always a registering of all impressions by the sensitive astral body, even if emotional response lacks, and disciples have to learn to distinguish carefully between the two. So this is more to do with feeling, even if there is no emotional response. Sometimes when emotional reaction lacks, as generally understood, there is nevertheless a registering of the original originating cause which sought to bring about an effect in the emotional body. And I think there's a very good section in Dyna 2 which distinguishes between feeling emotional reaction. I don't think it's especially easy to understand, but it's a good one. And I think we just need to get there, you know, sometime and look at that carefully. I think really what I have to do sometime, well, once a very good palmist told me I would never finish all that I intended to do or hope to do. And Robert Browning says, you know, that a man's reach should exceed his grasp. Or what's a heaven for? But then what's a heaven for when you hope to do without it and get right back and get to work? So what's a heaven for, you know? That's anyway. Okay, so there is this ongoing sensitivity, and let's just say, even if no emotional response. And then here's another type of reaction, simple reaction, the registering or the refusal to register or respond to an impact, to an emotional impression. This can be either good or bad. So these are the ways. This is the sensitivity or non-sensitivity. Well, all of this is response to that which is registered, or perhaps not even allowed to be registered. So just, kind of examine the condition of your own astral body, and what are those moments of tranquility, and can you preserve tranquility, and what gets the astral body in an uproar. Sometimes it will tell you a lot about karma and things that were maybe not accomplished in the past, but should have been accomplished. I think that's true. If there are pet peeves, as they say, it can very much have to do with what you yourself have not succeeded in conquering, or what you did amiss in the past and hope never to do again. So what have we got here? So we have the astral body reacts to all emanations of a sensitive character in three ways. There can be an emotional reaction. There can be simply a sensitive reaction, which involves no emotion. And there can be simple reaction, which is kind of a yes or a no, allowing it in or refusing to allow the impact, to allow the impact. Okay. In all three cases, one or other of the pairs of opposites is chosen, and the choice depends upon the quality of the astral mechanism of the man concerned. Now, by the pairs of opposites, generally, the pairs of opposites generally means soul or personality. There are all kinds of opposites, but usually the vertical pairs of opposites are what we're talking about. Well, this is a fourth method. A fourth method, okay, and this one is the Buddha would approve, involves complete detachment from the emotional body altogether. All right, now what's that all about? And a complete capacity to isolate oneself from any sensory impression at will in order to serve with greater efficiency and to love with greater intelligence. Forget not that in the last analysis, love and emotion are not the same. And oftentimes, emotion and its expression is disguised or disguises itself as love. This is interesting. This insulation is an advanced state. It is not hardness or refusal to register. It knows what is being experienced in the astral body, but there is no identification with that experience, only an awareness and a deep focus, minimally on soul levels. So we have to practice this sometimes. Complete detachment. Now, okay, this is in a way, what can I say? Number four. Yeah. Let's call it simply that, number four. So, emotional response, mere feeling without emotional response, and then the choice whether to even allow it in, number three, and a fourth method involves complete detachment from the emotional body altogether. Does one know what's going on with it? Well, perhaps one can, but it's not allowed to make a difference. Okay, so what is transpiring in the emotional body is not allowed to make a difference in one's state of consciousness. And consciousness and one's service. All right. The practical question now arises, how is one to overcome wrong vibration? Well, we're surrounded constantly by wrong vibration. And probably, if we are honest, we experience quite a bit of it ourselves. And maybe once we're initiates of the third degree or beyond, maybe that will be less so. First, how do we overcome this? And, you know, this is one of the most practical kinds of questions in the whole book, which is a book which is given to the control of the astral body, among other things. It is necessary that one recognizes what wrong vibration is, and that one is able to register reaction. I mean, you know, what is the vibration and how did we react? A vibration, an impulse, an emotion, a desire originate in the lower aspect of the form side. They differ from an emanation coming from the soul. So let's just say what's being done here. Okay. So what we are doing here, what is being done is to contrast vibration in this use from emanation. Normally, from above. The two impacts upon the sentient body must be recognized as different. You know, sometimes we use words loosely and, you know, without real discrimination. The question has to be asked, is the reaction a response to personality life, or is it a response to soul consciousness? You know, always this kind of keen discrimination is required, I suppose, with respect to any vehicle, but very much so, you know, where the dual forces are found on the astral plane, and we seem to have this choice about which way we're going to go, you know, because there are inclinations there. This kind of center of evil exists on the astral plane. I think it's called Mara Kara, the place of Mara, the place of the deceiver. You know, maybe you saw more movies, okay? Maybe you saw The Little Buddha, and we had this character called Mara appearing, and he was the source of all kinds of illusion, and the Buddha under the Bodhi tree defeated him. So does this impulse which seeks to sweep my sentient body into activity come from divine life within me, or is it coming from the form aspect in any of its manifestations? It's just how clear, how very, very clear this is, and how we should question this. Does it cause my astral body to become active in such a way that those who are en rapport with me are hurt thereby or helped? Are they hindered or aided? Okay, well, these are questions we're going to have to answer for ourselves. Especially if we have a strong astral body, you know. And I think so many of us are not exactly necessarily third ray or fifth ray souls who for whom the astral body does not seem to be such a powerful factor. We have to examine, you know, one could pause for a moment, the impulse which sweeps into my astral body, does it come from divine life? Does it come from the form aspect? Does it hurt others? Does it help others? This is really something to ponder, and you know, maybe if we are of the emotional type, maybe the artistic type with what DK calls a rich astral body, maybe we just don't ponder on this as we should. A close study of one's emotional reactions brings one to the consideration of that basic characteristic which cannot be overemphasized in view of the world's present conditions. And now begins, you know, some really important material on harmlessness. Okay, so we'll make this really big. I know it's my preference, but there's harmlessness. I tell you that the achieving of harmlessness in the positive sense, not the negative, where we're just sort of supine and non-responsive and therefore couldn't do anybody harm, any harm, although sometimes non-reaction can bring harm, of course, but at least a positive harmlessness means the attainment of that step which definitely leads to the portal of initiation. And when he says, I tell you, you know, you better pay attention. He doesn't often say that, right? But when he does, we really want to, he's calling for our attention. When first mentioned, it sounds of small moment, and to bring the whole subject of initiation into such small account that it becomes unimportant. But let him who thinks so practice that positive harmlessness which works out in right thought, because based on intelligent love, right speech, because governed by self-control and right action, because founded on an understanding of the law, and he will find that the attempt will call forth all the resources of his being and take much time to achieve. Well, I think those of us who have attempted to practice it with some diligence are all too aware of how really difficult, given our present condition, that this can be. It is not the harmlessness that comes from weakness and sentimental loving disposition, which dislikes trouble because it upsets the settled harmony of life and leads to consequent discomfort. It is not the harmlessness of the little evolved, negative, impotent man or woman who has not the power to hurt because possessing so little equipment wherewith damage can be done. Okay, so here we are, you know, what there follows. Harmlessness is not. Okay. It's not, you know, not wanting trouble. It's not weakness. It is the harmlessness that springs from true understanding and control of the personality by the soul. It leads inevitably to spiritual expression in everyday life. Positive harmlessness, positive harmlessness, positive harmlessness. It emanates from a capacity to enter into the consciousness and to penetrate into the realization of one's brother. And when this has been accomplished, all is forgiven and all is lost sight of in the desire to aid and help. You know, it's just like one thing after another has to be underlined here because it's just so very important. I'm remembering, you know, back, I think I became a secretary in the Arcane School in 1975, so that's going to be 43 years ago. And a lot of this material on harmlessness and how to enter thy brother's mind and also, you know, the astral body, enter thy brother's psyche, basically, and then finally, enter thy brother's soul. All of this was brought out in the secretarial manual. I think I was very excited when I received that and read with care. Whether I've been able to carry out everything, of course, it's another matter. Response to wrong vibration. Will not be basically prevented by the method of building a shell or by insulation, though the power of through the power of mantras and visualization. Again, we say again how harmlessness is, or how let's see, how wrong vibration cannot be overcome, or at least not as successfully. DK gives the method of the sevenfold rays of divine love. He gave that to Roberto Assagioli, a very sensitive man and needing protection, occult protection, because his work, I think, was very important. And, you know, those inner forces, they can war militantly against the disciple who's getting something done. These two methods are temporary expedients by which those who as yet have somewhat to learn seek to protect themselves. Temporary, not really totally useful. The building of a shell leads to separativeness, as you well know, and necessitates the eventual overcoming of the habit of shell building and a shattering and consuming of the shells already built. So, you know, okay. Let's see, drawbacks of shell building. The latter can be more easily done than the overcoming of the habit. Automatically, the building process goes on until finally the aspirant has built so many ramparts around himself that he can neither get out nor can any contact be made with him. You know, when DK, when DK discusses the psychopathology of the first and fifth ray types, he talks, about eventual untouchability, or that they make themselves untouchable. The process of insulation, which is a more advanced practice and calls for more magical knowledge, consists of emanating certain energies of the vital body in a particular direction, which serve to keep other energies at a distance and through through what is called impact. Okay. And so this is a kind of repulsion through radiation. Through this impact upon approaching energies, they are reversed and sent in another direction, but those energies must go somewhere, and should they damage another person, is not the one who reversed their direction through a desire to protect himself responsible. So we see this is not exactly harmless, nor necessarily sending back the energy to the source, which can be very damaging. And DK tells us that first-ray types may tend to do that. The practice of harmlessness is the best and easiest way for the aspirant to work. Oh, it's going to take keen discrimination to really know how to do that positive harmlessness, which is positively helpful. There is then nothing in him which is inimical to any life in any form, and he therefore attracts to himself only that which is beneficent. So you get the idea of being in the den of lions and remaining untouched, you know. Untouched in the den of lions. Some of the great saints maybe had this, and they could be with wild animals and suffer no ill effect. He uses the beneficent forces thus attracted for the helping of other beings. So what we give forth, we receive. This has to be the first step, and the discipline it entails, and the constant supervision of all the activities on the three planes of human evolution and of all reactions bring the emotional body under the dominance of the illumined mind. Okay, so this is the way we proceed. And of course, DK does give that technique of the seven rays of divine love, but in general, the practice of harmlessness is preferred here to the other two of building a shell and using mantric repulsion or radiatory repulsion, reversing the direction. So they also bring about the understanding of one's fellow men, which is very hard when you're building a shell, you know. Nothing can get out, nothing can get in. So avoid shell building and radiatory repulsion through mantra. Radiatory. Radiatory. Okay. Now, I think. Okay. There's some really good stuff here. And I think that it would be best. Since I said this would be a short program, as yet I grab any hour I possibly can, and I have a meeting coming up right away. It's 11:30 here at night, and meeting's coming up, but I saw that half hour that could possibly be used. So what's going on ahead, you know, basically is all this is about how to deal with negative vibrations. And from methods which are, well, isolative and insulative to those which are really useful in both protecting and creating understanding. So let's, you know, it's not much that we've covered here, but it's page 319 basically, and I don't know where we exactly began. Let's just see. Right here, 316 is where we began. So I'll just, you know, my new method, I'll grab the end in the beginning, and be ready then to take up this second method. So this is the end of number 29, and we're, you know, 316 to 319, and okay, 316. How about doing it right? 316 to 319. We'll forget the dyslexia here. And this is by now, yeah, it's still the 21st of August. And we'll go on next to number 30, and it'll be the 14th program, and this was the video commentary number 29. And this has been number 13, and this will be 10.1.14. Okay. Then 3.19 to wherever we get. Okay, friends, I think that's going to have to be it for the moment. I would like to go on. You know, sometimes in my wilder days, I even made five-hour programs, but the people who were transcribing it rightly threw up their hands and said, oh my goodness, it's overwhelming. So we will take this up again when it next becomes possible. And I'm hoping that I'm saving correctly, you know, somehow. So many things on this computer. So. All right. I won't worry about that right now. I do want to save this and save as it's going to be the same one. And here we go. All right. Thank you for studying with me. I think that's what we have to do. Study deeply, assimilate, make it our own, apply. That's what we have to do. Okay. On to number 30, when it becomes possible. If it becomes possible in another half hour, maybe I'll do it. And if not, you know, then when next possible. Yeah.